I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
We're waiting for Chad Daybell to walk into an Idaho courtroom any moment. Connor Boyack, guest hosting right now today for Dave Noriega. And Connor, you and I were on the air about 1 year ago when law enforcement unearthed the bodies of those two beautiful children who'd been missing. No one knew where they were. Their mom, Lori Daybell, wouldn't tell authorities anything other than a lie, according to police, that they'd sent the youngest son, the JJ, down to Phoenix. Well, that turned out to not be the truth. The truth was they were buried in Chad Daybell's backyard, according to cops. And I remember that day very well. It was heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking, and I know oftentimes the public feels like these things take so long to see justice served, to get to the bottom of the case, but you know, these things take a lot of time to unravel, and due process is important. And so it's interesting to see here we are 1 year later after the remains of these two kids were found, after their bodies were discovered. Here we are for this case today. It's an important milestone to make sure that these alleged perpetrators are, you know, held accountable.
So we were expecting Chad Daybell to make not his initial appearance. He was in court a few weeks ago when he and his now wife Lori Daybell were indicted. He was indicted on three murder charges, two involving those children, and one involving his wife, who died what we thought was natural causes. About a year and a half ago, and then after law enforcement went in and exhumed her body from a cemetery in Springville, Utah, because that's where they grew up together. They met in high school. They found out that, no, that's not indeed what happened at all. I don't know all of the details surrounding that particular element of this case, but they did charge him in her death. We were expecting, as I said, Chad Daybell to be in court momentarily for his arraignment, but we're learning right now that East Idaho News is reporting that prosecutors and Chad Daybell's attorney are meeting with the judge right now in chambers. And so what that can mean, from my experience in court, is that we're in for a long wait for that appearance to happen. But there's been so many unusual twists and turns in this case, and the latest came a few weeks ago, Connor, when we were on the air live expecting Lori Daybell to walk into court to hear the charges against her, the murder charges against her in this case involving her two children. And suddenly, the hearing was called off. It was called off abruptly. And then I think it was the next day or a day or two later, her defense attorney argued that she was not mentally fit to stand trial. The judge agreed, and she's now been ordered to undergo a mental health evaluation. That could take some time. We don't know how long that would take. But that's not all that unusual in some of these cases. We've seen these in other cases, but unfortunately what ends up happening is these trials get delayed and delayed and delayed. Because of it. Let me play some of the audio and the evidence that's being used in this case. We know that, you know, after about a year ago, Chad Daybell was arrested, in fact, on his own property as the law enforcement unearthed the remains of little JJ and Ty Lee. And then he apparently makes this phone call to his now wife, Lori Daybell, as authorities searched his property before the arrest.
Are you okay?
I don't really. I thought the audio would be a little more compelling than that. I don't really understand what either of them are saying. But following that search, the Rexburg Police Department explained they found the remains on the property. And that happened was it today, June 9th? It was exactly 1 year ago today.
During the search of the property, investigators discovered what appeared to be unidentified human remains, and an autopsy will be conducted. Shortly after the remains were discovered, Chad Daybell was taken into custody.
And then last week, a week or two ago, we spoke with KSL Television's Garna Mejia. She's been following this case very closely when those murder charges broke. And she's got the scoop on all the crazy twists and turns that have been happening over the last, actually, couple of years in this case. And it's spread from, we believe, could be the suspicious death of Charles Vallow, Lori Daybell's, I think, fourth husband. He's dead. All the way, Tammy Daybell in Springville, who was buried in Springville, Utah, Chad's, wife who passed away, and then all the way up to Idaho. So Garna has the inside scoop on a lot of this. Let's go back and listen to what Garna told us just recently when the murder charges broke.
It's a pattern. You see it start in February of 2019 when Charles Vallow filed for divorce with Lori Vallow after she kind of takes off and disappears for more than like a month. And so at that point in those divorce documents, he said, she's saying crazy things. She's saying that I'm a zombie now and my name is Nick Schneider. So she kept referring to him as Nick Schneider. You know, and then you have that same pattern with the children, with Lori telling her friends and telling Chad that they were zombies, that the children had become zombies. She was saying the night that J.J. Vallow likely was killed, she said to her friend Melanie Gibb, look at him. Look at how he's climbing on the counters. He's a zombie. He's possessed. In reality, she hadn't been giving him his medication for several months. And now you have this pattern continue with Tammy, where they are claimed that she was possessed by a spirit named Yola. Just as you mentioned, something that really stood out to me is when they were laying it out in those court documents, they say that they encouraged and espoused religious beliefs, as in Chad and Lori, for the purpose of justifying the homicide of all these victims.
Connor, it's just been such a twisted case all along. It just gets weirder and weirder. Every time we talk about it, there's a new development in it. We are still waiting for Chad Daybell to make this court appearance. We don't know if it's going to happen, actually. They're in chambers right now with the judge. I don't know if they're sorting through some details or what, but let's get Legal Eagle Greg Skordas. He's now a defense attorney. He's a former prosecutor. Maybe he can give us some insight in 3 minutes on what in the world they're talking about right now in judges' chambers. Straight ahead. Following a developing story out of Idaho right now, while we await Chad Daybell, charged with murders of JJ and Ty Lee, story we've been following very closely for the better part of a year and a half here at KSL News Radio. And we just got word that a judge signed an order this morning to commit Lori Vallow Daybell. This is according to the East Idaho News. Following an evaluation by her psychologist, that she is not fit for trial. So that means she's going to be committed and undergo a mental health evaluation. Connor Boyack, my special guest host, we were on the air together 1 year ago today, just because Dave's on vacation, I guess, every June 9th, and you're filling in for him when law enforcement unearthed the bodies of those two precious children in Chad Daybell's backyard.
Yeah, this has been a long journey for a lot of people who have been kind of waiting and watching and hoping for justice. And really, as you said on the previous segment, confused at all of the weirdness of this story and all of these odd developments and the different deaths in the extended family. And so almost like, driving on the freeway and like looking at that horrible wreck and trying to figure out what happened. A lot of people are waiting and watching and hoping for more information and certainly justice to be served here.
Defense attorney here in Utah, former prosecutor for Salt Lake County, Greg Skordas, on the line live with us right now. And excuse me, Greg, hold the line. We want to cut in because we understand that Chad Daybell is now in court.
Right. The purpose of an arraignment is to have you enter a plea to the charges in the indictment. At the end of the arraignment, then you'll be asked to enter a plea. In that regard, you would have three options. Your first option is that you may enter a plea of not guilty to the charges. If you elect to plead not guilty, then a jury trial and a pretrial conference will be scheduled in this case. Also, by pleading not guilty, you would maintain all of your constitutional rights in this case, which rights were previously explained to you at an initial appearance on May 26, 2021, before the magistrate. Among those rights, you have, I'll go through some of those. You have the right to be presumed innocent. The presumption of innocence is a real and important right which lies at the foundation of our criminal justice system. Therefore, unless you either plead guilty at a later date or the state proves the charges against you beyond a reasonable doubt at trial, the presumption of innocence remains in your case. You also have the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of your peers, as well as the right to see, hear, confront, and have your attorney question all witnesses who may be called to testify against you. During the pendency of your case and at trial, you also have the right to be represented by an attorney. As you are in custody, you also have the right to communicate with your attorney at all stages of your case, and reasonable access to communicate with your attorney will be provided throughout these proceedings. At your trial, you would have the right to present evidence in your defense and the right to the subpoena power of this court to compel the attendance of witnesses to testify on your behalf. And finally, if you plead not guilty, you will retain the right to remain silent and exercise the privilege against compulsory self-incrimination. This means that you cannot be required to testify against yourself. However, you may voluntarily take the witness stand at trial if you so choose, but you cannot be compelled to do so. If you decide not to testify in your own behalf, then the prosecuting attorney could make no remarks about your failure to testify and cannot imply to the jury that exercising your constitutional right to remain silent is any indication of your guilt. The second option you would have today is to enter no plea at all. If you decide to do that, the court would enter a plea of not guilty for you and you'd continue to maintain all of the rights that I've previously explained. And your third option at this arraignment is that you may plead guilty to any or all of the charges. However, it is important that you understand that if you do plead guilty, you would automatically waive rights, including rights under the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments to the U.S. Constitution, as well as similar rights contained in the Idaho Constitution. In other words, if you decide to plead guilty, you'd waive your right to a trial. There'd be no trial in your case, and you'd no longer be presumed innocent. The state would no longer have the burden of proving the case against you beyond a reasonable doubt. By pleading guilty, you would also give up your Sixth Amendment right to confront your accusers and cross-examine any witnesses against you, and give up your right to offer evidence of your own in your own behalf in response to the state's case against you. You would also waive any defenses you have to the charges contained in the indictment, including any claims that there is a defect in the state of Idaho's case against you, or that you've been treated unfairly by the court. Give up also your Fifth Amendment right to remain silent and the privilege against self-incrimination. And if you were to plead guilty, you would also be required to testify under oath concerning the facts of the alleged offenses in this case to allow me to determine whether or not there's a factual basis for your plea, and whether the plea would be made knowingly, freely, and voluntarily, and to determine whether or not you fully understand the consequences of that plea. Finally, you are advised if you decided to plead guilty, any testimony that you give while under oath concerning the alleged offenses could and would likely be used against you at a later trial if I were to not accept your plea for some reason, or if you later withdrew your plea. It is very important you understand all the rights and options I just explained to you. Before we go any further then with this proceeding, Mr. Daybell, do you have any questions on any of those rights I've just explained to you? Very well. Mr. Daybell, in this case, then, you were brought before this court to answer for the indictment filed in this case, which alleges you've committed serious crimes in that 8 felony charges have been filed in the grand jury's indictment. In that indictment, let me ask you a question, Mr. Pryor. Do you have that before you? Copy of the indictment. All right. Is the defendant's name, Mr. Daybell, spelled and listed correctly on that indictment on the caption?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. At this time, then, I will go through the charges that are listed in the indictment and the penalties for each charge. After doing that, then, Mr. Pryor, I'll ask your client how he pleads. So I'll read through the list of charges first, and then I'll ask for the plea after that. Then the indictment that was filed on May 25th, In count one, charges Mr. Daybell the offenses of conspiracy to commit first-degree murder and grand theft by deception, both felony counts under Idaho Code 18-1701, 18-4003A, 18-24031, 18-24034A, 18-24071B3. The count in count one names Tylee Ryan as the victim on the murder charge, and that count carries a penalty on the murder charge of it is punishable by death or imprisonment for life, and it provides that if the death penalty is not pursued by the state, then the court shall impose a life sentence with a minimum period of incarceration of 10 years. The grand theft portion of that charge has a penalty of up to 14 years of prison and a fine of up to $5,000 and possible restitution. That's a summary of those charges, and you've waived the reading of the charges. So let me ask you on that count one, Mr. Daybell, do you understand the charge and those possible penalties?
I do.
Okay. The next count in the indictment is count two. That is a count of first-degree murder under Idaho Code 18-4001, 18-4002, 18-4003, subsection A, and 18-4004. And that count names Tylee Ryan as the victim.
Obviously, these proceedings can get very wordy as the judge has to disclose what Mr. Chad Daybell's rights are. This is very typical in proceedings like this. We're going to go ahead and jump into the newsroom, find out what the latest news is happening around Utah right now. We're going to continue to monitor this with our team of producers and reporters. And in about 5 minutes, we'll be back with a live interview with Greg Skordas, a former prosecutor here in Utah, to get his analysis of today's proceedings. We've been following the developments out of Idaho in a courtroom right now. Chad Daybell is sitting with a white shirt on, a blue tie. His hands look like they're crossed. Right next to his defense attorney, Connor Boyack, my special guest, in for Dave Noriega. We just heard the judge read off all of his options. You know, will he plead guilty today? Will he plead not guilty? And we're waiting a word to see how Chad Daybell pleads to the 8 felony charges that he's facing in an Idaho courtroom right now.
Yeah, there's been an indictment, but what the judge was just doing is laying out the rights that he retains through the process if he decides to plead not guilty. Shifts kind of the burden to the government to make their case and show beyond a reasonable doubt that he is guilty. So it's very important that, you know, for Chad or for anyone in his shoes, that they be very clearly explained the implications of that decision, whether to plead guilty or not. And so it's very important that we understand how that process works, because those rights are very important.
We're just getting word right now that Chad Daybell has pled not guilty to the charges that he's facing in an Idaho courtroom. Greg Skordas, you've been in that same position with a lot of your defendants, people that you've represented over the years. Did you expect anything more or less out of that decision today for him to plead not guilty? Is that a surprise?
Oh, no, Debbie, that's exactly what everyone expected him to do. He pled not guilty to all 8 of the felonies that he's personally facing, including 6 involving murder, which carry the potential for the death penalty. Normally, they would have scheduled a trial at today's hearing, but the judge just scheduled another hearing in 2 weeks, so on the 23rd at the same time, to decide when and how the case will be scheduled for trial.
Greg, one question that a lot of people have who are unfamiliar with the court system is why things are so spaced out. Yeah, why schedule a hearing to decide when we're having another hearing? Why can't this be done more quickly?
That's a good question, Connor, and that's part of the system. But the defendant in a criminal case has the right to confront and cross-examine all of the evidence against him. And in this case, Chad's and his lawyers have asked for time to do that. The state has done their investigation. They've got their case ready, and they're prepared now to put that case on before a jury. But the defendant hasn't had the opportunity to see everything that's pending against him all the grand jury testimony. And so he's going to ask for some time to review that before they schedule a trial.
We better come up with a really good argument, because there's just a lot of evidence that, at least it appears from where we're sitting, that looks very, very bad for Chad Daybell. But however, I've sat through many trials, Greg. You've prosecuted. You've also defended folks in these trials. And there can be those Perry Mason moments where, you know, even those who are, you know, seasoned at covering trials or watching them on TV, it's like the aha moment. So we don't know what the defense attorney has up his sleeve either.
No, we don't. And we can probably assume now that lawyer Chad's cases have been separated because she's been psychiatrically committed, that Chad, one of his defenses may very well be to point the finger at Lori and blame her for everything. That's a lot harder to do when you're in the courtroom at the same time. But since their trials may very well be separated, he can do that.
She has the option not to testify, right? Because they're married.
Correct, she does. And she probably won't testify in his trial, which, again, sort of feeds into his ability to blame her for everything and to say that she did everything, because she's not going to be on trial. It's him. The jury won't find her guilty or not guilty. It's simply a matter of his trial. She may very well do the same thing when she goes to trial and blame him in hopes that the jury will find each of them not guilty. I mean, and that's why the state's really trying to get them both tried at the same time.
Greg, I'd love for you to speak to this right to remain silent. I've seen in cases like this in the past where, well, you know, if you've got nothing to hide, then you should, you know, speak, you should testify, you should kind of, you know, speak your mind. And some people elect not to. They decide to not divulge and kind of help the state in their case. Is it the case that when people decide to remain silent, that that's any type of, you know, suggestion or implication of guilt?
In fact, Connor, the jury will be told that it is not an admission or confession of guilt, that it's entirely consistent with our Constitution, and it's entirely consistent with the provisions that we have that a person not be compelled in America to testify against themselves. I mean, a lot of us think exactly like you just mentioned, that, hey, if you're really innocent, why don't you get on the stand and testify? But the law doesn't require that. The law is really sort of the opposite, saying, look, the state has to prove you're guilty. They have all the burden. You don't have to prove anything. So in that respect, you have no legal or moral obligation to testify in your own trial if you don't want to.
Connor Boyack is special guest hosting today for Dave Noriega. Greg Skordas, the legal eagle we often turn to in situations like this. If you're just jumping in the car, tuning in, Chad Daybell was in court moments ago. He pled not guilty to 8 felony counts that he's facing regarding the murder of 16-year-old Tylee Ryan and her 7-year-old little brother, J.J. Vallow. Both were children of Lori Vallow, who this very same day was officially committed just a few hours ago to a state mental health facility, Greg, by the judge in the case. Judge Boyce committed her to that facility. So if once she's committed, let's talk about what happens now to Lori Vallow, and will she ever see the inside of a courtroom when it comes to her own trial?
Well, she'll certainly see the inside of the courtroom in about 90 days, and the judge is going to bring her back and have the state hospital where he has committed her do an evaluation and let the judge know if at that time her competency has been restored. So they're going to medicate her, they're going to treat her, they're going to watch her very closely and try to get her competency restored so that she can ultimately face trial. But you're right, that may never happen. She may be at the hospital for years and years to come. Probably unlikely, though.
Greg Skordas.
Well, a lot of developments, as always, in this case. There's a lot of interest, and Greg, very much appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
We'll continue to follow this case as it develops, but as you heard her first on KSL News Radio, there was a not guilty plea entered in an Idaho courtroom just a short time ago by Chad Daybell, who faces numerous charges, including in the death of his wife, Tammy Daybell, 16-year-old Tylee Ryan, and 7-year-old J.J. Vallow, both daughter and son to his current wife, Lori. Daybell, this case is, just gets curiouser and curiouser. Lori was officially committed this morning to a state health mental health facility where she'll be evaluated back in court, as Greg said, in 90 days. So, Connor, once again, we're on the air together when there's been a major development in this case, 1 year after the bodies of those two beautiful children were discovered in the backyard of Chad Daybell's home.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.